I'm speaking with best-selling author Randy Alcorn today to talk about his latest book. Randy, it's great to be with you.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Now, Randy, this book on the subject of suffering and evil is your first major nonfiction work since your best-selling book, Heaven, which has sold more than 500,000 copies. Now, how is your approach to this subject similar to your approach in Heaven?
It's quite similar in that I'm using the same approach where I have immersed myself in reading a multitude of books. I think I've read 85 books on the subject of evil and suffering, everything from a philosophical to theological, biblical, personal stories, so anecdotal, pastoral, you know, help for people in crisis. And then I have structured the book in such a way as to make it readily accessible to people, where I include a lot of scripture and some good solid theology, but in a way that's very accessible.
And you've got some interesting and intriguing things to say about this problem of good. So how could this be an argument then for the existence of God? How do you handle that?
Well, one of the things that the atheist books and many other books, agnostic books, do is they will go on for page after page about atrocities. And of course, I will also mention the Holocaust, the killing fields, sexual trafficking with children, the horrors that we have in the world. The question is, how does your worldview explain that? Well, the Christian faith explains it in that God created a good world, and then there was a perversion and a twisting and the exercising of the gift of free will to choose rebellion against God, and sin and death and suffering are all the result of that, but God has a redemptive plan, and ultimately he's going to make things right. And meanwhile, he's patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. But what we have to acknowledge is that the naturalistic world system can, you know, the evolutionary point of view operates on the basis of survival of the fittest. Now, survival of the fittest means that those who are the strong could just ruthlessly, with disregard for human life, establish their position and take food, not give food to the poor, take it from the poor, and let the poor and the weak die. Well, does that happen sometimes? Well, it does happen sometimes, but as a whole, if you look at the world, it's actually shocking how much goodness there is. I mean, think of the sacrifices that are made by the strong, the healthy physician who goes to work in the leper colony, the people who pour out themselves to help the underprivileged, the disabled, the homeless children on the streets. You know, all of these works of intervention on behalf of the weak and needy done by the strong and powerful. Now, none of those make any sense whatsoever from a naturalistic point of view. If the world operates and the wheels turn on the basis of the survival of the fittest, where does goodness come from? In fact, where does our whole concept of goodness come from? Where does the concept of evil come from? Because when everybody acknowledges, well, this is evil, look at all the evil in the world, well, they are assuming a standard by which evil can be judged. There is no evil unless there is good. That good must exist. For you to say that there is evil, you must judge that evil by some standard. Who's to say it's evil? You know, somebody rapes a child, does this horrible thing, and we all know it's evil, but on what basis? Well, why would we not just say, well, it's just survival of the fittest, the strong overpower the weak, that's just the way the world operates, and, you know, we may not like it, but we're not going to cry out about it being evil, it's just the way things are. But from a Christian worldview, it isn't the way God intended them to be. It isn't the way it was in Eden. It isn't the way it's going to be on the new earth. And that one day, based on the atoning work of Christ, the creation itself that groans for this longing for redemption is going to be redeemed, and God is going to wipe away the tears from every eye. And this is where the Christian worldview is distinctively different in addressing both the issue of evil and the issue of good in ways that the atheistic perspective just simply can't explain.
Randy, this is a timeless and very timely message in some tough times that we're going through, not only here in this country, but around the world. And what would you say is the reason that you are looking to tackle or even address this issue at this particular point in your writing career?
I think that evil and suffering is not simply a question. It is the question. This is the why and the how long question. You see it in Scripture. Scripture never backs away from this question. In fact, Scripture leads the way. Long before atheists were raising the question, the problem of evil, why does a good and all-powerful God permit all of this evil and suffering? It was raised by biblical writers, and it occurs again and again throughout Scripture, and I deal with that in the book. And it's also the question as we look around us. It's like, why, Lord? And then even along with the why, how long? Even the martyrs in heaven, in Revelation 6, they've died, they've gone to be with the Lord, they're looking down at the earth, they're seeing their persecutors still alive and still persecuting other believers, and they say, how long, O Lord, before you bring justice? And then God says, you must wait a little longer until the blood of the last martyr is shed. I have a plan here. Trust me. Now, he's actually saying that to people who are in heaven. I mean, they're still asking the question. But they're going to get an answer, and we're going to get an answer, and part of the answer is that God withholds his justice, which we cry out for. God, bring this to an end, all of this unjust suffering. But if he brought all justice due the human race right now, we'd all be obliterated. We'd all be taken down to judgment. And therefore, he is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all, both unbelievers and believers, should come to repentance and become the kind of people who are prepared for heaven. He has not just gone to prepare a place for us. He is preparing us for that place. And he uses suffering, and yes, even evil, even though he's not the author of evil, even though it doesn't come from him, he is above it and can use it ultimately for his purposes. And actually, that's evidence in the work of Christ on the cross. Think of what he did on the cross for us. That was the worst thing that ever happened in human history. And from another point of view, it was the best thing that ever happened in human history, because it is the basis upon which the death and then the triumphant resurrection of Christ, upon which our sins have been paid for, and we can spend eternity with Christ. So if God can take the worst evil and suffering in human history in Christ, if he can take it and actually use that for good, if he did that with Joseph, if he did it with Job, if he's done it with many other people in the world today, can't he do that in my life and your life as well when we face our own evil and suffering?
Randy Alcorn, it's always great to connect with you. Thanks so much for your time today.